joining us on Open Mic. Today we're talking with Moorhead City Council member Tom Carew. Tom, thanks for joining us here on Open Mic.
Great to be here with you, Leanne. Thanks for the invitation.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the City Council meeting that happened on Monday night. You guys had a pretty lengthy agenda. First, we talked a little bit about the Friends of Rodburn Hollow Park. Mr. David Dummer came in and spoke with you guys. Tell me a little bit about what's happening over there.
Sure. Councilwoman Carolyn Franzini is one of the prime movers on the Friends of Rodburn Hollow Park. And as Carolyn tells the story, and I don't hope I don't do damage to Carolyn's story, but you know, she took her children over there as they were growing up. She now takes her grandchildren over there, and it's one of her favorite places. It's a beautiful park that we've got in the city. And over the years, it's, you know, seen a lot of wear and tear. So I think Carolyn has helped, along with Dave Dummer and many others, to organize a group that helps the city improve and enhance the great resource we've got at Rodburn Hollow.
Yeah, it's a beautiful little hidden gem. I think a lot of people don't realize that it's over there, but those of us who live within the city know we can sneak over and have a really nice afternoon at the park, and it's not too busy, and it is a beautiful area.
Yeah, not too busy, and because of all the trees, I mean, it's 10 degrees cooler there
yes.
than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And plus, I don't know that many people know this, but the Martin Branch Trail there connects to the Sheltowee, so right from that park, you know, there's great parking there, and you can get out on the National Trail.
I am always surprised when I see these runs. They've been doing a lot of trail running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And there was a 50-mile trail run over the summer, and I was just like, I didn't realize we had that much trail. And it's beautiful and very rural, even though it's so close to town.
Yeah, the Sheltowee Trail really almost starts at the Ohio River. I mean, starts at the Lewis County line and goes into Tennessee. And close now to 300 miles of trail that we've got going right through the Danube National Forest, which is a great resource for us. It brings a lot of tourism into the community, mountain bikers, trail hikers. So I think I think Moorhead is seeing the benefit of capitalizing on this beautiful natural resource that we've got here, the Danube National Forest.
It is a beautiful place to live, for sure.
It sure is, yeah.
With other public comments, there was a few people who came in from the community to talk about the sewer rate increase. Now, I'm a city member. I live here within the city limits of town, and so I knew that the sewer rate hike was happening. Tell me a little bit about what you know of that process.
Sure. So it's actually a water and sewer rate increase. MUPB, the Moorhead Utility Plant Board, is our city-owned utility. They do a great job. And they manage the water treatment plant, of course, and the sewer treatment plant, and the distribution systems. Over the years, as with any, you know, public utility, you've got to continually invest for the future, not only to maintain what you've got, but to plan for future expansion and growth. Round County, I think as many people know, is one of the few counties in eastern Kentucky that's predicted to have population growth. And we have this tremendous multi-county industrial park out off of 801. And we've been very lucky, I think, as you know, to recruit several businesses that are out there. And we have the new Stave plant that's going to be, or Cooperage, I guess, that's going to be coming in close to that area out there. So all that being said, we're in need of a new water treatment plant. We've got to expand our water treatment plant, which means we typically at least double capacity. And we've got to look at expanding the sewer treatment plant. And then we have several sewer lines that are getting close to maximum capacity. As a matter of fact, as I understand it, we're probably not able to handle any more expansion out on 801 without the sewer improvements. So all of that put together, the plant board went through a year-long study of what options they had in terms of staging things, raising rates, what could they hold off on, what do they need to move on quickly. And so after that year-long study, they came to City Council in May with a request to increase the rates, and the water rate, I think, is a 39% increase mm-hmm. in the water rate. And I can't remember off the top of my head what the percent of increase is on the sewer rate, but it's substantial. All of that, of course, we had several citizens who came to the council meeting Monday night, and I think the council members and the mayor, of course, really appreciate citizen input. So it was great to have them there. Josh Trent spoke. Philip Holland spoke. And their concern was, as they're major landlords in town, and they're getting this rate increase, you know, it's hitting right at the time that they've already signed leases. Mm-hmm. And so many of them include water and sewer in their rental rates. And so that it negatively impacts their cash flow. And so understandably, they're quite upset about the rate increase. They acknowledge the fact that we need to have a rate increase. But I think the criticism comes in the sense that maybe we as the utility plant board and with the help of the city council should be implementing rate increases every year or every other year, so that rather than get one big shot, mm-hmm. this 39% increase, we're preparing as we go into the future.
Okay.
So I think the comments were very valid. The 39% rate increase not only hits them, but I brought this up at a city council meeting in May, it hits our lowest income citizens.
Right.
Folks on fixed income, 39% rate increase in water and sewer is very hard to absorb in your budget.
Mm-hmm. I know that, I have a house in town, and seeing that increase was, you know, kind of hits you because you're like, whoa, did I use a lot more? And you compare to your last month and you didn't. So I was also interested, but seeing on social media that people had talked about it, I knew that they were coming to the city council member meeting on Monday and expected them to voice some concerns. But some members of the plant board and were able to kind of talk about why they at the meeting they were.
Yeah, Holly Russ is the general manager. Russ Ward, the chairman of the board, were there and spoke to the citizens that were there about. So we are in the process of expanding the water treatment plant. Plus, I don't know if many folks know, we're also building a new water intake. So the current water intake is in the Licking River below the dam. We're now going to be building a new intake that's up in the lake. And I think that's good planning. I think that's where we need to be. We'll actually get cleaner, higher quality water out of the lake rather than the river because of all the turbidity that occurs in the river. So we'll long-term have lower operating costs for treating the water because of the higher quality water. But that takes a huge capital investment. We've got to build the water intake facility and the lines that go out there. So we've got that expense there, plus the immediate need to increase the volume or the size of the sewer pipes that we've got running from 60 out to 801. Those things are the plant board's working on right now.
Right. And I was surprised to hear that one of the reasons that we're in financial difficulty is because we're still waiting on money from FEMA.
Yeah, I'm not positive, but I think it was the 2010 flood that flooded the sewer treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're behind about $2 million in claims to FEMA that they have refused to pay. And as far as I know, we have done the best job that we possibly can to pursue that money, including asking our senators and congressmen to intervene on our behalf. But FEMA is refusing, as I understand it, to pay that $2+ million that we feel they owe us for the work that we had to do to repair all the damage to the sewer treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Holly would be the best person to talk to on all the inner workings there.
Right. Well, hopefully we'll get to discuss that with her soon. You guys talked about the Moorhead Tourism, talking about the Conference Center and the Arts Center. What's happening in that realm of things? I know we're gearing up for Arts and Eats.
Yeah, Arts and Eats is coming up in September, I believe. But I think things are going very well there. Joy is doing a tremendous job of managing that whole facility for us. And we did not spend a lot of time talking about all of this because we had a full agenda. So we just did a quick report on that.
Okay. Now, you guys also talked a little bit about future growth and development. I know a lot of people are really interested in what's in the works, especially since a TIF district has been implemented downtown. Give me an update on that.
So We did not have an update on the TIF district, although I think in a couple of previous meetings we understand that we're close to signing a deal with a hotel, which we think would be the anchor for the TIF district. And once that's done, then I think that will get the ball rolling in downtown. Now, Tony Pence is the main person who's helping to put that together along with the committee. Glenn Teager's on that committee. Dan Markwell's on that committee. Have a lot of confidence in that group. A lot of good, smart people who I think will help us recruit an excellent hotel that hopefully will be an anchor and a Kickstarter for the rest of the TIF district.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how Moorhead continues to grow as that is implemented. You guys had some ordinance changes, one of which was the land usage of building regulations, talking about electrical inspections. There's a lot of legalese here, but tell me what that is.
Basically, I believe we raised the fee that an electrical inspector can charge. I think it went up $10, so it's pretty minor, actually, in the scope of things.
Wonderful. So that's not that affects usually new construction and things like that that are happening in the, in town, and not really the day to day for normal working people.
Right.
You also talked about you did the second reading of an ordinance for a traffic code that puts a stop sign at the intersection of Bridge Street and Triplett Street. And for those listeners who aren't familiar with the street names, that's over on City Park. Mm-hmm. And it'll be that road that Bridge Street will separate the old part of the park where the baseball fields are and the new part of the park where the splash pad is.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. And so putting in this new stop sign there, and we're going to add a crosswalk as well, will help slow folks down, as we expect to have a lot of, pedestrian traffic coming from the ball fields and the parking lots over there over to the new splash pad. So we anticipated that we would need this, and we determined that that's really the best location for it rather than closer to Triplett Creek.
Right. That's as a mom who has parked in that area before, I definitely appreciate that there will be a crosswalk there. There's a lot of kids in there in the spring and the summer months, and sometimes it gets a little dangerous with the people speeding in that area, and hopefully that'll help them slow down a little bit.
We think it will. And, of course, as part of the splash pad, there is a new parking lot over in the splash pad and a very large parking lot that will accommodate not only the needs of the splash pad, but probably, as you're well aware, the parking lots on the ball field side get full very quickly, and this will provide some additional parking for that as well.
Now, since we've brought up the splash pad, I know it's under construction. I went by a few days ago and saw some equipment working out in there, but tell me where we are in the scheme of things with that project.
So everything is under construction. I drove by there the other day. They're building the bathroom facility and plumbing's going in, block was laid. I don't know whether they poured the slab yet or not. Hmm. But yeah, it's moving along very quickly. And as the mayor has shared with us, he's hoping it'll be open sometime in September.
Right. I know that the Labor Day festivities are kind of wrapped around that being open and available to the public a little bit.
I don't think it's going to be ready by Labor Day, and I hopefully I'm not misspeaking. It's probably going to be a little bit later in the month.
Okay. Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, it was 80 degrees on Halloween last year, so I feel like we're going to have the opportunity to spend a little time with
it this
fall.
That's right.
And I hope that the citizens are able to go in and utilize that. I feel like we might have a whole lot of college kids down there. I know it's geared for younger children,
but
I definitely would have gone. So
good place to cool off.
Absolutely. Well, at this point, we're going to take a short break here on Open Mic, and we'll be right back after this.
The Kentucky Center for Traditional Music invites you to a community square dance at the Round County Arts Center, 7 p.m. on Wednesday, August 22nd. Admission is $3 and free to students. All ages and ability levels are welcome. So come on out to the community square dance, 7 p.m. on Wednesday, August 22nd at the Round County Arts Center on Main Street in Moorhead.
And And we're back here on Open Mic. Today we're talking with City Council member Tom Carew. Tom, thanks for being on the show.
Great to be here, Leanne.
During the meeting on Monday night for the City Council, you guys had a very, very large agenda. But one of the things that you talked about was the amending the recreation fees for the city. Tell me what was up with that.
I don't have my notes in front of me, but one of the sports, I think it was football, a younger group of kids, we had left them out of the raises that we gave to all the other sports. And so that just brought them in line with the existing fee structure for everybody else.
Wonderful. I know that there's a whole lot of our area youth that participate in our city-run sports. So it's nice to see that's being taken care of.
Speaking of fees, we did, and the splash pad, at this time, the mayor and the city council have decided there won't be any fee usage for the splash pad.
Mm-hmm.
That might change somewhere in the future, but not now.
At least for the beginning.
At least for the beginning, it'll be free and open to the public.
Which is a wonderful opportunity for the people of Moorhead to get out and spend some time in the community and cool off a little bit.
Yeah. And, we've got a great park. We have new basketball courts, new playground equipment. The fields are in excellent shape. So it's great to see that city park down there doing so well.
I feel growing up, I grew up in a different community than Moorhead, but we had a city park and no one was ever there. And so to me, going to city park, you can go any day of the week. And well, now that school's in, not so much, but during summer and spring, actually, and it seems like it's always full. There are always people at our city park utilizing those facilities. And the new playground and the basketball courts are wonderful facilities. And I always see a lot of people out there utilizing those.
Yeah, we have multiple uses for that park. You see people walking the loop all the time. We'll be able to extend that loop now over to the splash pad side as well. We've got, a lot of people have their noon meal down there.
Mm-hmm.
They pull up to the creek and just sit in the shade and enjoy being outdoors. We're also planning to put a canoe and kayak facility, launching facility in the right there below the dam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for that. And as I think, I don't know how many people know this, but we have, when I say we, April Weaver has been the prime mover on this, but cleaned up Triplet Creek, and folks should come down and take a look at it. And with the new channeling that's occurring, it'll be a lot easier to do canoe and kayak even with low water conditions.
It is a wonderful project. I knew that there were some equipment down there and kind of straightening things out and making sure that it was the water was directed in the way that it should be, cleaning out the debris and some stuff that people had illegally dumped in there. I know they found a bunch of tires, which is unfortunate.
Over a couple of hundred tires. I can't remember the exact number, but hundreds of tires have been taken out of there.
Which is horrible for the environment. So yeah. I'm glad that they had the opportunity to get those out.
Along those lines, and I think talking about recreation opportunities, we've talked about the trails and the running, the mountain biking. I think that we're trying to envision, or we're looking at envisioning, a canoe and kayak trail that goes from City Park to the Licking River. And that will take some time, but without a vision and a dream, and someone like April Reefer, who knows how to work all this, she's a tremendous resource for the community. I'm really excited about the opportunity. And again, all of that brings tourism into our community. And again, we're capitalizing on the beautiful natural resources that we have.
Mm-hmm. So not only are we going to have the walkers and the mountain bikers going on our trails, we'll pretty soon have a bunch of kayakers hitting the rivers. That's wonderful. One of the other things that I wanted to touch on is something that was near and dear to your heart, is creating a new policy for the fire department that's going to allow some of their younger volunteers to actually live in the fire department out by the middle school and high school. Tell me about that program.
So Chief Anderson introduced this concept several years ago and has been pursuing it. And as you said, it's to help recruit new young volunteers. We have a great, a terrific volunteer fire department. Some of those members, if you look at the roster, are approaching a mature level in their lives. And so we need to be about recruiting new and younger firefighters to help join that great force that we've got. And the chief saw this bunk-in or live-in opportunity as a way to recruit new firefighters. So the chief and city attorney, Joy Stevens, have worked on the policy for quite some time, and we approved that policy at Monday night's council meeting, and so they'll be able to now officially start placing folks in the bunk rooms.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I think that will help out with recruiting and retention of new recruits, but also it's going to help out some young men and women who are getting their feet.
Yeah.
During or after maybe some higher education. Since we're talking about the fire department, let's talk a little bit about the update on the police and fire department.
So I think many folks are aware that the council, the mayor, have been in search of purchasing a piece of property to house our new police, combined police and fire station. And if it's big enough, potentially the county's ambulance service. So we are, we have negotiated, but it's not final yet, with the state for a piece of surplus property that they have on 60, just west of the car wash.
Right.
And that property, some of it's in the 100-year floodplain, some of it is not. And, of course, whatever we do there, we would build, all our buildings would be elevated above the 100-year floodplain. But it's an excellent location to east and west of town, to north of town, adequate size, easy access onto a terrific road. So we're excited about the possibilities, and the state has been very good to work with. But anytime you work with the state, of course, it takes a while to negotiate all the details. So knock on wood, while it's not a done deal yet, we're very close.
That's wonderful. Well, I hope that gets done soon, that we get that all worked out. Is there any kind of anticipated start date for when they're going to break ground on that at all?
I don't want to jinx anything, so I'm not sure yet. Well, we don't, you know, we're still a ways away because we haven't contracted with an architectural firm for the design of the facility. So we want to get control of the property. Once we got control of the property, we'll do an RFP for architectural and design services and then go from there.
Wonderful. Well, it will be a wonderful thing to see with the new facility once it gets up. There's a lot of really great things happening in downtown Moorhead and throughout the city, and I know that it will be a interesting year to watch as things grow. And that's all we've got for today here on Open Mic. Councilman Tom Carew, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here again. As I said, Leanne, thanks very much.
And we hope we'll see you next Friday on Open Mic.